Thank you, Father. I have been reading throughout the Gospels and the Epistles over the past year or so, and when I come across the scripture references about the husband and the wife, I'm always intrigued by that, and the time that the Lord gave in the Word of God to marriage, to family. And each time my heart is pricked, and each time I feel like, man, this is something we don't talk enough about in the church today. We don't give as much attention to it. You know, let me say this. When I first became a parent, I don't know. When you were first a parent, you don't know anything about parenting, right? Can we all agree on that? So when that first child comes, you're like, you know, this thing's just going to develop. It's just going to take care of itself. I'm going to hold it. I'm going to feed it. But, you know, it's going to learn not to talk back to me. And it'll just know to say please and thank you, right? And then you realize quickly that, oh, I have to teach them that. I want a cracker. How do you properly ask for a cracker? I want a cracker. No, that's not how you properly ask for a cracker. I would like a cracker, please. Oh, yeah, yeah. Can I have a cracker, please? 10 minutes later. I want another cracker. How do you properly? How many times today do I have to tell you how to properly ask for a cracker? But we just assume things. We don't know. We went into this not knowing, and so we just assume that a child's going to develop. And we don't, what I didn't realize, because I wasn't around, Luke, to remember how my parents brought me up. Someone taught me how to be who I am today. I didn't just stumble into this person that I am today. I didn't trip over a log in the forest, bonk my head on a rock, and wake up and say, I'm going to be respectful, I'm going to be kind, I'm going to be a good citizen. Somebody instilled those things in me. I still remember the day that my dad caught me shooting the neighbor with my little Red Ryder BB gun out the window of our barn. And the lashing and the communication that ensued and the removal of my gun from my possession for months on end. If you ever saw a Red Ryder BB gun, you could see the BB leave the end of them. They were so less power. But I learned how to properly use a firearm because somebody taught me, somebody helped me. And sometimes I fear with that, from that perspective, that we just think, well, we get married and my life's just going to work itself out. My marriage is going to work itself out. My family's going to work itself out. We're just going to be great. And then the first time he doesn't pick his dirty socks up off the floor, she's like, what in the world did I marry? And the first time that he leaves something out on the counter or doesn't do something, she's like, whoa, 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 this is not what I signed up for. I thought I bought a trained animal. Sometimes I fear that in Christianity there are things that we put in secret compartments. And we put them under lock and key. And you know, everything's good as long as I can come to church and smile. And you know, and we get out of the car together and we hold hands on the way. Everyone will just think everything's great. And we look around and we say, wow, so-and-so seems to have such a great marriage. They must be drinking the right soda or something must be going on. And we don't see the behind the scenes of the work and the labor and the hours that they put in committing one to another. And so I read these. I've said all that to say, I read these scriptures in the New Testament and I think, Lord, we need this. Our families need this. And I think, well, you know, maybe we'll have a marriage class. Maybe we'll teach something. Or maybe, Lord, you'll give me the liberty to speak that at some point on a Sunday. And nothing ever happens. So this morning as I was getting ready, waiting on the Lord about today, some situations that played out over the past 72 hours begin to play in my mind, and I begin to feel a release to talk to you about the things that we're going to talk about today and the importance of them in the body of Christ. It's probably going to be the most awkward Mother's Day service you've ever been in. But I hope somehow, by the help of God, we can be changed. Do you want to be changed? I don't know about you, but every time I come in here, I want to be challenged and I want to be changed. I want the Holy Ghost to do something in me. We could come up with great things to say about mothers, and I could find every mother in Scripture and tell you all about it. But what's that? How does that change us? I want to be challenged by the Holy Ghost to be not to just stay the same, but to be what He wants me to be. There's all this communication out there about be a better you and figure out how to be better at what you are or what you do. No, I want to be what the Holy Ghost wants me to be. I want to go where He's leading me to go. And I want to be involved with the things that He's asking and inviting me to be involved with. As my wife mentioned, we had the opportunity to get away for a couple of days, just the two of us. And Thursday night, it was late in the evening. It was probably about 6-7 o'clock. We decided before we went to dinner, we just wanted to go down to the beach and hang out, maybe get in the water. People started meandering back up out of the out of the water, so it was less crowded. There was a lot of people around, and so we'd gone out, and when we got to the beach, we set up beside a young lady who was probably in her mid-20s, and she had a little 1 to 2 year old girl beside her. And we laid our towels down there. We sat there for a minute. We said, "Let's go get in the water." And so we got in the water, and as I was sitting in the water, I was looking back, keeping an eye on our stuff, and I noticed that a young man showed up and was sitting down beside this young lady. And I could tell, even from 100 yards away, that there was a verbal confrontation going on. So I ignored it. We got out of the water, and I went and sat down. And as soon as I sat down, this confrontation was escalating. And pretty soon, everybody that was within a 20-yard radius that was laying down or had their face down or was reading a book had set their stuff aside and was now looking and watching this as this young 20-something-year-old man began to berate and scream and cuss and call this young lady every possible nasty thing you could. Now, we're sitting in a family environment on a beach with 80-degree weather, clear blue water, no problems in the world, right? I mean, everything's great. And there's children around screaming and playing and frolicking in the water. And all this guy can do is tell his wife how worthless she is, how bad she is. And I'm watching this go down, and she's playing with her daughter, just acting like he's not talking and holding a conversation with this daughter and getting water for her so she can play in the sand. And all the while he's sitting there berating her. And I am telling you in the eyes of God this morning, it was everything that I could do in my flesh. He was kind of a pipsqueak. Not to pick him up with two hands, one by the hair on the back of his head and the other by those swim trunks he had at the back, and give him a heave-ho into the ocean and hope that there was a shark swimming nearby that was looking for their dinner at about 7:15 p.m. I couldn't believe it. My heart was so heavy after watching that. And she eventually packed her stuff up and got her stuff, and she left the little girl and left him sitting there literally about from me to Brother Chamberlain away from me, just staring off into the distance like this for about 10 or 15 minutes. And I thought, you're such a fool. What is wrong with you? Of course, time passed, and I'd kind of forgotten about it. It was heavy that night, but I forgot about it and just let it go. And last night we came home, we flew into the airport, and we got our bags, and we'd gone down to the curbside pickup location for our car storage area. And as we were waiting there on the shuttle, I was really focused on looking for the bus that was coming to pick us up, and my wife said something to me under breath. She's like, "Wow, they're really going at it." And I had been so focused that I didn't realize that there was literally somebody about from here to the edge of the platform. There was a couple standing there, and they were in the fight of their lives. And I'm thinking, seriously? You guys are coming back from some vacation, some trip. And it literally escalated to the point where she was bawling her eyes out, crying uncontrollably, while they used every nasty word you could come up with to speak to each other. I got on the bus, because our bus came, thank the Lord, and we left them standing there on the sidewalk, and I was speechless. I was speechless at the fact that our society has come to the place where there's no longer even mutual respect one for the other. Forget a husband and wife. Forget somebody who's made vows to one another, till death do us part, to love and to respect in sickness and in health. Forget all of that. I'm talking about just humanity one to another, having a common courtesy of respect one for another. It's gone. It doesn't exist anymore. Then add to that the fact of the marriage commitment and the marriage relationship. I didn't even want to look up the divorce rates and where things are at today in our society. I know it's out of control. It's out of control amongst my Christian friends. People who connected and met while we were in Bible school together who aren't even married anymore among the church. It's running rampant. And it's there because men and women have lost the ability to love and respect each other. And I'm challenging us as the body of Christ today. Paul said at one point in the epistles, that ought not to be so among you. Jesus said that to his disciples on the road when they begin to quarrel amongst themselves. Listen, that ought not to be so among you. And I'm challenging you today as the body of Christ. It not ought to be so in the church. The body of Christ. That we lose the respect one for another. That we undervalue the relationship that God has brought together. The scripture said of marriage, that what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. Those were his words, not mine. What he has joined together, what he has put you together in relationship, is of value and is of importance. He even went so far as saying in the Gospels when they were asking him for, you know, for a bill of divorcement, what juncture can I get a divorce? And they said, well, Moses said. He's like, well, I mean, if you got to have something, yeah, then here you go. But that wasn't his plan. That wasn't his intention. I understand that there are all kinds of circumstances and things that transpire around us. But that wasn't his intention. That wasn't where he went. And so when we go to the scripture, and I want to take you to a couple of scriptures today. Ephesians, I want to start Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22. And I want to get a scripture context out of the way. And the Lord began to talk to me about this in the past few months. In Ephesians chapter 5 verse 22. Because this is not communication that is conducive to our society today. You know, when I perform a wedding, whether in church or not in church, at some point along the way in the vows, we get to a juncture of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22 where a woman agrees to submit herself to the spiritual authority of her husband. And I've had more than one occasion where people said, you're going to take that out. We're not agreeing to that. So you want me in the eyes of God as a spiritual authority to pronounce a blessing over your marriage, but yet you don't want to live in a biblical principle of marriage. I'm sorry, but those two don't mix, and you might as well now just go to the justice of the peace. Go get a judge to marry you. If you're asking a preacher to participate as a spiritual authority in a spiritual moment that is a scriptural moment of marriage, but you're asking him at the outcome of it. Hey, listen, we don't want all that scriptural stuff. We don't want to put any of that biblical stuff in there. Now, here's what Ephesians 5 and 22 says. It says,
Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Now, our world misinterprets and construes this scripture all over the place today as though women are subservient to men and that they're under men and that men are over them and blah, 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 blah. You can fill in the blanks. That's not what he's talking about. I think that probably the best representation of the relationship between men and women that I've ever heard is the fact that God didn't take a piece of Adam's foot to create Eve. He didn't mean for women to be under men's feet. He didn't even take a piece of his hair so that she could be over him, but he took from the rib, from the side, so that men and women could be beside each other and helping each other and help meet. That was his purpose. But when we talk about this submission spiritually, there is a reverse role going on in society today. It's bad. Because here's the problem. As soon as there is no spiritual leadership in the home, I'm talking about spiritual leadership. I'm not talking about who's in charge of your house. We all know who's in charge of the house. It's the kids. Right? You can act like you're in charge of the kids run everything. They tell you when you're going to eat. They tell you when you're going to change clothes. They tell you when you're going to go outside. Everything. The kids run everything. We act like they don't. The only thing we're really in control of is when we make them go to their beds. When they fall asleep is up to them. In fact, most nights, bedtime's 8 o'clock in our house. We generally start around 7 o'clock. If it is peace and quiet by 9 p.m., it is a miracle of God. Just because they go to their bed doesn't mean they're going to sleep. There's 6,000 drinks of water that are needed between then and... And at 7:30, they were refusing to brush their teeth. Okay, just go to bed then. But at 8:15, I haven't brushed my teeth yet! So we're talking about spiritual authority. When there is a home void of spiritual authority. You know, most women are far more sensitive than men are emotionally, right? My wife's, I'll admit that. My wife's far more, there's things that she'll say to me, oh, I feel so bad about that. I'm like, really, you do? Like, what am I missing? Well, I'm a male. My emotions are. And so when there's a void of spiritual authority and leadership in the home from the man, the woman who is has more emotion and can be more at times spiritually sensitive than the man will step into a role. And then it becomes upside down. And then it becomes a problem. Then we got, if the scripture says that the husband is the head of the wife, in 1 Corinthians, that's how Paul said it. The husband is the head of the wife as Christ is the head of the church. When he was in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, that's how he described it. He's not describing an authority structure in the home where you do what I tell you to do. He's talking about the flow of spiritual authority. He's talking about spiritual alignment in the church and the body of Christ. It starts at the home. And flows into the assembly or the body. Right? This whole idea nowadays in church is somehow, you know, the pastor's in charge. Yeah, whatever. There's guys that try that. You know, they rule with the iron fist. They got a big club, and they tell people what they're going to do and how they're going to live and what time they're going to come to. This is America. As a congregational leader, the best I have to offer you is spiritual oversight. That's it. I can't tell you what to do. That's not my job. That's what your relationship with Jesus Christ is for. I'll try to be an affirming voice to you when I can. That your relationship with God, Let him lead your life. And so when our homes operate from that perspective, and that we have fathers and husbands who are waiting on the Lord for direction for their homes, for their families, and they pass that down through, there's that flow, that alignment that happens where they then communicate to their wives, hey, this is what I'm feeling for our home. This is the direction that I'm feeling for our family. And she says, yep, I've been feeling that too. I got a confirmation in my spirit. Then we gather together as families and individuals, and we gather into the presence of God, then there is a flow of authority and anointing that's untouchable. Untouchable when we gather together, because everybody's in alignment and there's that perfect flow. The psalmist would describe it as unity, right? He said it's like the dew of Hermon. It's like the oil that they poured upon the beard. When they would anoint somebody, they would pour the oil from that ram's horn over their head, and it would drain down, and it would cover everything. It's a perfect, uninhibited flow of authority and anointing that comes when the home's in the proper structure. And so when it says, when Ephesians 5 and 22 says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. He's talking spiritually here. You know, this may seem crazy to some of you. I don't call my wife 5 times a day, where are you at? What are you doing? Really? She says she's a human being. If she decides at 11 o'clock she wants to go to Safeway, by all means, go to Safeway. Got to call me and check in. Right? Are we on the same page with that? So why do people take this and twist it into, though, you better call me before you leave the house tomorrow? That's twisted. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about a spiritual submission. Honey, I want you to pray and find direction for our home. That's what he's talking about. Can you get a hold of God about this situation? I'm not sure what to do with this child. I'm not sure what to do with this scenario. I'm not sure what to do with this situation that's unfolding in our family, in our home. Can you pray with me? And will you see what God would talk to you about? And then let's reconvene in a little while. That's the structure that he's talking about. But, oh, all the men love that scripture. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands. Well, he's not done yet. Go to verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. My goodness, there's nothing else that needs to be said after that. There's no argument, because nothing tops the ultimate sacrifice that Christ paid for the purchase of our salvation. There's nothing. His love for you was so great. His love for you was so incredible that he was willing to lay down his whole life. He was willing to die a death that was humiliating. He was willing to be put in a place of humiliation because he loved you so much. And we talk about that and we sing about it, and all kinds of incredible songs have been written about it. He loves us. Oh, how. And we rejoice in that, and we dance and we do all these things around here because of the love of God. And oh, he loved me. Oh, I was unlovable. He loved me. He loved me first. And we say all these things, and then we forget that it was that love that he used to compare, or as an analogy, he used a spiritual situation to describe an analogy or to analogize what it was we were supposed to do in the flesh. The relationship, the marriage relationship, the love between a woman and a man. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Well, I don't feel like it. Good thing God didn't say that. I've been around situations. I've been in the company of some people. And I hear. hear, I listen, I overhear how they talk to their wife. And it makes me wonder, does Christ talk to you that way? Is that how God talks to you? Some of you don't need to answer that because maybe he does. Because if you talk to your wife that way, I'm guessing that the Lord hasn't got through to you, so he probably got to use whatever means necessary to get your attention. You see, when we turn this on its head, oh, because all the wives love that. Husbands, love your wives. See, the Bible says you have to love me. But when we turn these scriptures on their head and we begin to look at what he was really talking about, that this was as much spiritual as it was physical. It's as much spiritual. That's why everybody runs around today. Oh, I love you, I love you, I love you. No, you don't even know what that means. Meet a girl, know her for a week. I love you, I'm in love with her. Really? Like Christ loved the church love? Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends kind of love. Really? Are you sure? You sure you wanted to text that? Or should you delete that one? Right? But in the middle of all that, that lack of understanding, people enter into relationships and they enter into situations. And then you see this, what begins to spill out of that. You know, my wife is my best friend. I spend more time with her than I probably spend with anybody else. But I don't talk to her like I talk to my other friends. You know, sometimes I like to give people bad time. Some people just, it's just easy. You know? They walk right into stuff. It's so easy. And I don't ever want to bull anybody or put anybody in an uncomfortable situation, but it's just, you know, sometimes you're just having fun. You're talking, you're with a bunch of guys, you're talking. I like to harass people on my job because they just don't know how to take it, you know. That's just who I am, my personality. The preacher's picking on them, and they're not really sure what to do. They don't want to get mad at me. In fact, I like to pick on my sister. My sister works with me. I like to pick on my sister a lot. And I'll pick on her in meetings, especially means that she's running. And she's as quick as lightning, and she's right back at me. And the other day, somebody said, they said, you know what? He said, until I met you two, I didn't know Christians could have fun. He's an atheist. But I enjoy that. It's a good time. Sometimes it lightens. I'm talking about being mean to people. I'm talking about just having fun. But you know what? I don't talk to my wife that way. My wife could walk into a situation, a group of people. Maybe she says something, and you're like, oh, yeah, well, I bet. I don't talk to her that way. I don't harass her in front of her. That's not how you love your wife. I cringe sometimes at some of the things people say to their wives in front of me. That's not your buddies. We're not fishing on the bank of the river. We're not out in the duck blind, folks. That's your wife. Treat her like it's your wife. Anybody here agree? I'm telling you, when you enter into that stuff, here's my perspective. When you enter into that, it starts out just joking. It's a slippery slope. And the next thing you know, somebody starts ripping on your wife or ripping on your husband. You get in the middle of it. Oh, yeah, you know, I bet. And the next thing you know, your spouse is questioning, do you really feel that way about me? Well, no, I was just kidding. You see where that goes? I'll stop short of saying, next thing you know, you're saying things you wish you could take back. in conversations, but it's a slippery slope. And that's not how God intended the relationship between you to be. Let's keep reading here. He gave himself for it that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish.
Wow. We know that. We believe that. That's why we believe in the new birth experience. That's why we believe in repentance and daily asking God to forgive us and cleanse us, because we know that he's looking for a bride without blemish, without spot, not corrupted by the world. And so I've got to love my wife in such a way that neither of us become corrupt or spotted.
What are you talking about?
Do you believe that I could treat my wife in such a way where she would maybe harbor ill feelings towards me? I could say things or feel a certain way towards her because of how she's treated me or things that she says to me, that I could harbor something. Oh, no, I still love her. We still go home after every service and she cooks me dinner and I kiss her goodnight. Everything's fine. But inside, I'm like, why does she say that about me? And now I become spotted. I'm harboring some bitterness. I'm harboring a little bit of hatred. Are you really talking about this today? That I can harbor hatred in my... Yes. It starts so small. Why do you think he went to the extent of putting it in the scripture? That I've got to love her in the same way that he loves us and wants us presented to himself a bride without spot and blemish. Don't give any opportunity. Don't put any place in your life to let something come between you and your spouse in the same way that nothing should come between you and the tell the Lord all the time in prayer, if there's anything between you and me, God, get it out. I don't want it. I don't want anything to be a barrier. I don't want any hatred, any bitterness, any vile, any impure thought, any impure motive. Get it all out of me. But yet we sit on a church pew every Sunday and every Wednesday. We come in here and we pray together and there's things between us and our spouse. No difference. He says, they're one and the same to me. If there's something between you and your spouse, then there's something between me and you. They're not two separate compartments. Well, my relationship with God's good, but let's not talk about the one with my wife. I'm sorry, in God's eyes, he says, clean that one up, and then we'll talk about mine. Because they're connected. It goes a little bit further here. It's going to get real deep. Put your seatbelt on. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. I go to the gym and I watch these guys stand in front of the mirror and can tell by the looks of their bodies that this isn't their first, second, third, fourth, fifth trip. In fact, some of them are there all the time. Every time I show up, you're here. Do you ever go home? And you've got a wedding ring on, which means you've got a wife. And I wonder, do you love your wife as much as you love your body? Is there anything wrong with being fit? I just admit it. I go to the gym. But I don't spend more time at the gym than I spend with her. And there are many nights that she kicks me out of the house and says, go to the gym. You need to work out today. No, I just got home. I want to spend time with you. No, I'm good. You go to the gym. Go work out. It's important. You got high blood pressure. You're going to die. That's not what she says. No, she understands. But there's a balance. I'm not at the gym every night. My wife's never had to say, you need to quit going to the gym. Stay home with me. But he uses this analogy. Why? You know, some of you are sitting here staring at me like, what in the world are you talking about? If he had to put it in the book, maybe you're the clueless one. Right?
He wrote this stuff. We get so in love with ourselves and making sure that I'm taken care of. You know, I don't miss a lot of meals. If she stops cooking for me, there's taco time and McDonald's and Burger King and steakhouses and all kinds of stuff. I can take care of me. I can look out for me. Or I can say, hey, is there something wrong? You quit cooking for me. Right? People concerned only about themselves and self-focused say, I don't need her to cook for me. There's Outback. I'm being facetious, but you get the point here. Jesus said, listen, as much as you are concerned about you and yourself and your life, you ought to love your wife. It's a commandment. You love your wife as much as you love yourself. Let's keep reading. Some people didn't like that scripture. Maybe they'll like the next one. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Wow. You know, I go get a haircut once a month. Anybody else get haircuts in here? Everybody. The Chamberlain gives himself a haircut. I get a haircut. Because I like to look presentable. You know, I get a little shaggy every now and then. It gets over my ears. Sometimes it gets a little long in the back. It's a little long. I don't like that. And so I want to take care of myself. So I go get a haircut. You know, every now and then I get busy and, you know, I forget the fingernail clippers in the console of my truck are there. And my fingernails get a little long and I get working out on the property and they get a little dirt under them. I start looking, and clean that up. I care about myself. I care what I look like, right? Most of us do. Most everybody here today has got some sort of an iron shirt on. Somebody took the time to care about yourself. And if your wife ironed it for you, tell her thank you. But you care enough about yourself to be presentable. God says, in the same way that you care about yourself, you ought to care about the wife that I gave you. I know this seems simplistic, but this is where the rubber meets the road. And I think in the last 72 hours I've realized that we all knew these kinds of things went on. You hear about these things behind closed doors. But I'm telling you that the spirit of the world and the spirit of the enemy that is attempting to divide the family and tear the family apart is now causing it to pour into the open. And we're now seeing in the open what used to go on behind closed doors. And I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost, I got such a burden to address it head on before it gets into the church. And if it's already in your home and maybe it just hasn't poured out yet or you haven't talked to anybody about it, let the Holy Ghost address it. Figure it out. What is it between me and you? Ask the Lord for help. I have to. In everything that God, I need help being a father. I'm a terrible father in my flesh. You say, well, I think I'm a good dad. No, I'm a terrible dad. In my flesh, I'm a terrible dad. The scripture says, in me that is in my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. I can't be a great dad without the help of God. I can't be a good father to my children without the help of God. I can't be a good husband. I'm a terrible husband. In my flesh, I'm a terrible guy. Trust me. You are too if you're honest with yourself. Left to our own devices, left to our flesh, we're not great people. If you ask the people that have to live with us 24/7. I'm not talking about being able to put a front on for 2 hours a week. Hey, yeah, how's everybody doing? Yeah, I'm great. No, I'm talking about the guy and the girl that your family has to go home with today. I'm preaching to that person, not the person sitting here, that person. The person who's going to get out of the car in an hour and get mad at the waitress at the restaurant or get mad at something that happens at home. I'm preaching to that person today. ask God for help. God, I need your help. I can't be the dad to my kids. I ask the Lord every day. Father, give me the grace to be the dad that your word commands me to be. Fathers that don't provoke their children to wrath. Lord, let me be that father. I want to be that one. Father, I want to be the husband that your word writes about. Husbands that love their wives. Husbands that love their children. That's the husband that I want to be. You've got to ask God for help. Don't compartmentalize different parts of your life and say, well, I'm not going to talk to God about my marriage or my family. I'll talk to him about the spiritual things. Talk to him about everything. Ask him for help. Let's finish this. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined to his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and see that the wife see that she reverence her husband. This is how God was relaying this relationship. Now, if you're here today, I don't have time to get into this. I could do a whole nother Bible lesson on those who are in church and their husbands aren't. The New Testament, Paul wrote about that extensively. How to behave if you're the wife or the husband of an unbeliever. He wrote exclusively and extensively about that all throughout the epistles. I don't have time to get into that today. He gives us this example of the relationship between husband and wife. I'm coming to a close, but I'm challenging us today as the body in the environment that we're living in today. I witness so much stuff on my job. My heart aches and hurts for the families in our world today. I hear the rumblings of people who, you know, stay out all night, don't go home, maybe go home for a couple of hours. I don't grasp that stuff. They like to harass me a lot at work because I don't spend a lot of time with the people that I work with. I travel with them from time to time, but I don't go spend a lot of time with them. And they'll put on events. We have a fun committee in my office. Self-titled fun committee. And they put on events at different places. And they do different things. And they all want to get together. They work 48, 50, 60 hours a week together. And then they all want to get together for events on the weekends. I'm going to be with my family this weekend. Really? Yeah. I'm going to be with my kids. You know, the same things you have, kids? I'm actually going to spend time with mine this weekend. Instead of going to the football game at the Kent Showwear Center where ladies are. That's what I would. What? Well, why wouldn't you go? We're building camaraderie here. I'm sorry, sir, but you know, my family comes first. Well, come on. There's the whole group of us are going bowling on Thursday night. Come on, your family can spare 4 or 5 hours for you, right? I'm sorry. No, I'm going home. Oh, come on, man. Well, maybe you'd be interested. And playing laser tag with us on Saturday. There's a group of us that are meeting up in Federal Way. We're going to play laser tag. No, not interested. I have a family. I can't tell you how many times I say that over and over and over again. And it doesn't bother me to say it, but it hurts me. Because each one of those guys that approach me represent kids at home. Who are probably going to be sitting around on Saturday night wondering, where's my dad at? What's my dad doing? Where's my mom at? What's my mom doing? It hurts me. Because that's not the example that he put in Scripture.
That's not what he wants. That's not what he desires.
And so I every day allow the Word of God to challenge me in these things. I don't know what else to do. I don't have any good example in the world. All I know is what he's written in Scripture. That's my example. And so, yes, it's going to seem a little bit extreme to the world.
You know, everybody
harassed Mike Pence because he said, I don't go to meetings alone with women. I just don't. And, oh, they harassed him about that. Why'd they do that? Because that's such a foreign concept to our world today. Couldn't believe it. You'll probably notice, if you're a woman in this church, married or single, and you've ever gotten a text message from me, my wife's on the text. Why do you do that? I respect her too much. That's a foreign concept in our world today. I hear all the stuff at work. Did you know that so-and-so was here till 2 in the morning just having a conversation with another lady that works in the office? They just, you know, they were here and just, they're both working late. Next thing you know, it's 2:00 in the morning. What is wrong with people? Both of them with spouses at home. But yet they make fun of me because if I go in a conference room with a member of the opposite sex, I'll ask someone else to come in with me. Hey, would you come in here for a second? We need to have a meeting about this. And they're like, why do you need to be in the conference room? It's where it comes in real handy having my sister in a company. Hey, come here for a minute. I need to. These are such foreign concepts. And then we wonder why marriages in our world are falling apart at a rapid rate. There's no respect for each other. It goes beyond speaking nice to each other. Let's stand. I can honestly say this today. I'm going to say this before I give you the next direction. I can honestly say this. I don't know the state of anybody's situation in the room today. And so with a clear conscience before God, I can say, I want you to pray from your situation. I want you to pray. You talk to the Lord from your situation. Whatever your relationship is, perceived, unperceived, reality, not reality, whatever that is, I want you to pray about your relationship, your children, your wife, your home. Maybe you're here today and you're unmarried, but you know of other situations. Would you let the Lord use you to pray for those situations today? Maybe there's people on your job that have confided in you and you know there's things going on. Would you let the Lord use you to minister in prayer to those situations today? Maybe you know about situations that are in the body. Pray about those situations. Let the Lord use you in those today. And if you have your own family, your own situation, pray about that today. Maybe everything's great. Ask the Lord to help you. Ask the Lord to give you grace today. Let's do that right now. Hitaroboria lalabashitia taye. Hitororobo sitia rarabahaye. Hitororo masitia lalabasha toroboria lalabahaye. Father, in the midst of the assault of the enemy against our families, we pray a hedge right now in the name of Jesus. I pray a hedge right now, Father, about every family represented in this room. I pray a hedge about every home. Every home represented in this room right now, I pray a hedge about it in the name of Jesus. I plead the blood of Jesus over it right now. Hitoroburi alaba shataye alaba. Hitoroburi alaba shataye alaba hoye. Build us up, Father. Strengthen us in the Holy Ghost today. Let us be fathers, Father. Let us be husbands. Let us be wives according to Scripture. Oh, we ask for your grace today. We ask for an impartation of great grace today upon every life represented in this room today, upon every home represented in this room today, in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask you to forgive us of our past failures. We ask you to forgive us of our past shortcomings in our marriage relationships, in our family relationships. Father, if we have failed, forgive us. And Father, I pray that you would give us a blank slate by your blood today. Give us a fresh start by your blood today. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, we pray over every child that's downstairs. We pray against the attack of the enemy against them. In the name of Jesus, we pray a hedge about our children today. Strengthen our marriage relationships, Father. Strengthen our family relationships. Strengthen relationships, Father, between fathers and sons and fathers and daughters and mothers and sons and mothers and daughters. Let those relationships be fortified today. And I pray against every divisive attack of the enemy that would attempt to separate those relationships, drive them apart, turn them to each other, Father. I pray in the name of Jesus and speak restoration over every relationship represented in this room, over every prodigal son and daughter. We pray restoration right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you. I thank you for the institution of marriage today. I thank you for the family today. I thank you for it, Father. I thank you for the blessing of children. I thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I pray, Father, restore families that have been broken apart. Restore relationships, Father. Oh, even those not represented in this room today. There are, Father, those that I'm connected with, associated with, people on my job, Father. I pray restore relationships today in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, help me to be a light, Father. Help me to be an example, Father. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus.